Have you ever wondered what you would do if CPS showed up at your door? Well, this happened to us a little over a year ago, and it was something that I will never forget. Today, I'm going to tell our story. I have touched on it and mentioned it briefly over the last year, but I've never actually told the story. Today, that's what I'm going to do. I hope you'll stay tuned in. Welcome, everyone, to the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorinda, wife to Daryl for 34 years, mom to 8, nana to 10, and 28-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of 3 books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart. This is 31 Days in God's Word. It's a devotional that I wrote specifically for homeschooling moms. I hope you'll check those books out. You can find them at my website, dorindawilson.com. You can also find them at Amazon, and you can find The 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers, in addition to the places that I just mentioned. Also, if you're interested in a free digital download of the devotional that I wrote to accompany The 4-Hour School Day, you can have that for free by simply signing up for my monthly email newsletter, and I'll leave a link in the show notes so that you can do that. I also want to remind you that I have a mentoring course. If you're interested in finding out a little more of what it looks like to take a simple, unhurried approach to homeschooling kindergarten through 12th grade, this would be the place for you to go and do that. So I will leave a link in the show notes. Also, lastly, if you have a minute, would you mind please leaving a rating or a review in from whatever platform that you're listening from? Because the way it works is that the more moms that rate and review, the more the system puts the podcast in front of other moms so that they can be encouraged as well. So I hope you'll take a minute to do that. I want to share with you my favorite math resource is CTC Math. I recently had a testimony sent to me from a mom who decided to give it a try. And here's what she had to say. She said, "I took a leap of faith and tried CTC Math for the kids. I heard you talk about it on your super helpful and wonderful podcast. Thank you for that. Our lives are so much better with this incredible program. My kids begged to do their math lessons first, and it has freed me up to work with the other kids more intentionally because I'm not struggling to teach concepts to frustrated children. It is a wonder. I was planning to pay for a math tutor to help, and now I don't have to search for one. Thank you. I have already told all my homeschool mom friends." So I hope, moms, that you'll check out CTC Math at ctcmath.com and give their free trial a try. So be sure to keep listening after the prayer at the end of this episode to hear about a great resource from Classical Conversations. Okay, so let's dive into this topic. Over the years, moms, I'm sure you have too. You've heard scary stories about CPS wielding unwarranted power over homeschooling families. But, you know, I always had serious doubts that we would be one of them. I tried not to live in fear. We were careful or whatever, but just mostly prayerful, you know, just trusting God to watch over us. And he did for decades. It was absolutely true. And that all changed a year ago. And it was interesting because it didn't happen to us with our children. It actually happened to our child, our son, his wife, and their new baby. And it's been a year since this harrowing experience. And although I've mentioned it in passing, I've never actually told the story until today. And I'm not telling it because I want to instill fear in you. I'm telling it, first of all, because God protected us and walked with us faithfully through it like he always will. But also because I believe that you should know about the resource that we're going to be talking about today that I wish we would have had when all of this happened. So I'm going to try to tell the story very briefly, just because I want to leave time to share this resource that I think is so important for you all to know about. But our son and his wife had a baby at home, and the baby inhaled some amniotic fluid and wasn't breathing real well. So they decided to go ahead and head to the hospital. And our son went with the baby. Our daughter-in-law was still finishing with, you know, all the things that happen after a baby is born, and getting herself in a place where she could go join them. But he took the baby to the emergency room. And when he got there, the first doctor he encountered told him basically that he knows that they had a home birth and they must have had a midwife, and he wanted to know the name of the midwife or he would not take care of the baby, which is completely illegal for him to do. Another doctor, fortunately, was right there and stepped up and said, "We're going to take care of this baby." And so he did so, and the baby got cleared up really, really quickly. They said, you know, probably if he would have stayed home, he would have cleared out on his own, but it was good. I think that they brought him in and tried to get things situated. They were just trying to be good parents, diligent parents, and he was doing great. But in that process, his body temperature had dropped, and they really felt more comfortable monitoring him for a couple of hours and asked if they would be willing to go ahead and be admitted. And they said, yeah, absolutely. We'd be happy to do that. And so by then his wife was there, and they went up to the room and were admitted. And then my husband came, and a pediatrician came in the door, and it was someone that we are familiar with who we don't see eye to eye on things like vaccinations. She was briefly our kid's pediatrician until we realized she was not a good fit. So we had a tiny bit of history with her, but not a ton, but enough for her to know who we were and to know us in general. And she basically came in and said, this baby is very sick. He could have a brain bleed. She went down this list of all kinds of tests she wanted to do. And it all just seemed to be coming out of nowhere. And so my husband basically, you know, said, you know, maybe we should just get the baby onto mom, get him nursing and get his body temperature up and monitor him before we start doing all this testing. And, you know, if he's doing fine and we're not seeing any warning signs, we're just going to go ahead and go home. Well, she did not like that answer at all. She was agitated, and she just pretty much stormed out of the room. I mean, they talked a lot. She tried to really work things up, and my husband was just sensing, and our son, that things were just getting blown out of proportion. So they decided to move forward with their own discretion, and ultimately the baby was doing great. The hospital staff said the baby was doing great. And so they decided to go ahead and go home. But of course, because she had made all of these recommendations, they couldn't leave without signing against medical advice papers. So they signed all those. We went home. Baby was doing well. And an hour later, CPS showed up on our doorstep. And they just basically said they needed to see the baby, just needed to get their eyes on the baby. That was it. And my husband was like, well, the baby's doing fine. I don't understand. And anyway, they were very, very persistent. And he finally was just, you know, said, you know, I think you just need to leave, you know, just get off of our property and leave. And they would not leave. They called law enforcement. So law enforcement came, and we, long story short, our son said, yeah, let them look at the baby. We know he's fine. We're not going to have anything to hide. And so they went back and did that. And then of course they didn't leave. And within 30 minutes, they started saying that basically our supervisor is telling us to take the baby if you don't go back to the hospital and get all these tests done and have him monitored for a specific amount of time. And we went back and forth, round and round and round and round and round. We were kind of labeled as the interfering, controlling grandparents when we were there just in a supportive role, and our son was making the decisions. And we were just there, you know, this is what family does, you know, we take care of each other, and they needed our support. And, you know, in the middle of all of it, it really just occurred to me, this was a huge clash in a worldview perspective. They believe that the government should have much more control over family and children than they should. And we believe that, you know, family, God instituted the family above the government. And so I saw this happening, and it was very bizarre because there was a big storm that came through, and all of a sudden we couldn't make phone calls. I was trying to call people to help, to pray or whatever. I couldn't get through. It felt very oppressive. And so the whole thing was just really strange, but for 4 hours, we went round and round and they just kept saying, our supervisor telling us to take the baby. We don't want to take the baby, but we will take the baby. And so we finally realized we had no choice. They had no choice. And so the police officer was wonderful. He was very supportive and he just could not believe this was happening. He was just blown away. He's like, I've never seen anything like this ever in my whole career. This is crazy. But anyway, he had to support them because as we found out later, law enforcement, at least in our town, has to do whatever CPS tells them to do. So they have, unless this police chief comes in and does like this active discernment and says, basically, no, I'm thinking this is not, he can say something, he can do something. We learned all of this later. Anyway, so they got back in the car and they went back to the hospital. And, our son hadn't slept in 24 hours, 36 hours and hadn't eaten in 24. And he had to go to battle with these people. CPS was trying to get him to sign papers that said that he willingly and knowingly put his baby in harm's way, that he was an abuser and a neglector. And he's like, I'm not signing any of this. And so he went round and round with them until all the paperwork read like he thought it should read. He made them explain things. He did just a stellar job. And so there's a lot more details to how that all went down, but it was just God's presence was there giving him wisdom along the way. And the kid was like 23 years old, and so it was crazy. So he asked them basically out of this list of tests, which ones are required. And the new pediatrician that was seeing them said, well, none of them are. They're all your choice. And he said, well, then why are they threatening to take my baby if I don't get these tests done? And they couldn't explain anything. So basically, they just did the minimal test. I think there was one or two that they did, least invasive. And they had to be there for the 24 hours for the culture to show up after 48 hours. That would tell them whether there was some sort of infection. I guess they were worried about, this doctor was worried about that as well. Anyway, all that to say, of course they were released. Of course, in 3 weeks, CPS was like, this is an illegitimate case. We're dropping it. So then it's wiped from the record or whatever. So that was our understanding anyway. But praise the Lord, God provided a godly Christian attorney to help us along the way, who walked us through everything. But when it was all said and done, it was incredibly upsetting and incredibly difficult. And we're thankful for God's protection. We're thankful that he took care of us. But it was a real eye-opener in terms of, thinking about whether or not, what kind of resources we have to at our disposal to be able to help, families with this. And as I learned, there are some really wonderful resources out there. And that's why I'm doing this episode today. I wanted to tell the story. And then I wanted to share this resource with you. And so today, Bradley Pierce is here to answer questions about heritage defense and how it serves families like you and me, because I want him to actually speak to the initial contact and how it could have been different if we'd been members of heritage defense. But before we dive into the questions, I want to give a little introduction. Bradley Pierce is a co-founding attorney of Heritage Defense, where he helps defend the parental rights of Christian homeschooling families around the country against threats by social services. After being homeschooled in the late 80s through graduation, Bradley earned a degree in history and English from Baylor University while serving as student body vice president, and then went on to earn a Juris Doctor degree from Baylor Law School. He and his wife, Cindy, have 10 children. Bradley, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. And we're actually expecting number 11 right now.
Congratulations. That is so awesome. I love it. It always excites me so much when godly Christian families are just having lots of kids and raising them for the Lord. I have so much hope for the future because of that.
We're very blessed.
All right. So let's kind of just, you heard our whole story here. And what could have looked different for us had we been members of Heritage Defense? And this is not something I would have thought to even have our son and daughter-in-law have as a tool, right, since it was their first baby. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, boy, I'm sorry. That's not what your grandchild's birth should look like, or your baby's birth should look like, having to go through that. But I can tell you, I've talked with lots of families that have had very, very similar cases to what you just described. So I was thinking about a lot of those while you were telling the story there. Really, I mean, as far as what could have been done or what would have looked different, you know, being members of Heritage Defense is just right off the bat. We're available 24/7 for our members. You can contact us any time of the day or night. I've gotten plenty of calls in the middle of the night from member families, even on the way to the hospital, you know, who's like, hey, we're going to the hospital. We don't think this will be an issue, but just in case, we wanted to give you a heads up, and I can kind of give them, or we can give them some tips, you know, while they're on their way. And, you know, that's something, again, that would have been available right here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then once things kind of escalated, once the hospital starts saying, no, you can't leave, and then you're facing this, you know, well, I can either stay here or I can leave against medical advice, AMA, you described. Yeah, that's when a lot of our members call us at that moment and say, hey, they're telling us we can't leave, but they're wanting to do things that we don't think are in the best interest for our child. What should we do? And we can then walk them through that because I tell this to people all the time, if you leave AMA with a child, especially an infant, you know, you're almost guaranteed to have CPS at your house when you get home.
Right.
So as you were telling your story, as soon as you said you left AMA, I'm like, okay, I know what happens next.
Right.
I know what the next part of this story is.
Right. And I think that's something a lot of parents don't realize. So even that information alone is so helpful to know.
Yes. And so again, we have families call us then, and then we can help them navigate that. And again, so again, a lot of this is, you know, we want to be here for families. And one of the reasons we started Heritage Defense in 2010 is because we saw when we were able to get involved as attorneys before things really got very far along, before the train left the station, so to speak.
Right.
We were able to get, you know, help families navigate situations to keep them turning into cases, or if they did turn into cases, we were able to get them closed relatively quickly if we were able to get involved very early.
Right.
So that's why we started this organization, this nonprofit. So people have someone to call, you know, because homeschoolers are, first of all, every homeschooler is a do-it-yourselfer.
Right.
It's like, we are all that. And then secondly, many homeschoolers are frugal. So when we're faced with problems, we don't think, hey, let me call an attorney to handle this for me and pay him lots of money. And so that's why we started this organization, though. So that way you do have somebody to call. You don't have to worry about it, you know, costing you a bunch of money. And then we can then advocate for you.
Right, right. That, would you say that's the mission of Heritage Defense, or is there more to the mission?
I mean, that is the mission, really. We're here to provide peace of mind for Christian homeschooling families, knowing that you have somebody to call. So that way you're, you know, doing what's in the best interest of your children, teaching your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that you can do your job as a parent and not feel like, you know, you're doing what's in the best interest of your child is chilled because of what somebody may think of it or what CPS may do. You know, we want you to know, hey, if something, you do what's best for your child, and if somebody challenges that, you know, we've got your back. That's what we're here for.
Right, right. So the things that I learned about Heritage Defense after the fact that made me absolutely convinced that I needed to share this with my audience, and also my husband and I told our daughter-in-law and son, who had this little guy a year ago and are now due in January with another one. We said, our gift to you is a membership to Heritage Defense. And our son looked at us and said, you have no idea how much that means to us. And I'm like, I think I do.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we just want them covered. We want them to have, you know, the birth that they you know, really should have had the first time. Everything went really, really, really well up to that point. And to me, I just feel like there's an aspect of it that's a spiritual battle, because we look throughout history and it's such a common thing for the enemy to go after the vulnerable ones and after the little ones and after the children of godly people and godly families. We see that all throughout history and church history. And so why would we think it's different now? But what I think is wonderful is that we have tools, we have the means to be able to do this. And the thing that was also really impressive to me was just the price. I thought it was fantastic. Isn't it like $19 a month? Is that correct?
It's $19 a month, or if you want to do the whole year at one time, it's $190 for the whole year.
Right, which is saving you about almost $50, right? Something like that. I think I did the math the other day. But anyway, the other thing that I noticed that I found out that was really helpful is like you just do that one membership for your whole family. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, to me, that's amazing. And for those of us with a bunch of kids, this is great, right. You know? And also I thought, well, is it just for homeschool age kids? And no, our daughter-in-law and son could have purchased that before the birth of their child because they plan to homeschool. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, a lot, we get that question all the time and we're like, you know, people like what you're describing, people expecting their very first child. Mm-hmm. We're like, no, now's a great time to sign up because we have a lot of cases that arise upon the birth of a child, or if the baby's, people have opinions about, oh, well, your baby's not, birth weight's not what it should be, or at least in my opinion. And there's all kinds of things that can happen with not just babies, but all the way up to school age child and beyond, where your parental rights get challenged and you need an attorney. And so, yes, there's, you know, once you know you're expecting even that first child, that's a great time to join.
Yeah. And I'm thinking also, my audience can let people know about this, families that they know who are having their first baby. Hey, you might think about this. The other thing is grandparents out there. I've got some older homeschooling moms who are also grandmas now. So, man, I told my kids, I think I'm going to buy this all for each of you because all of our kids, the ones that have kids so far, they're all homeschooling. And, I had to laugh because when I said, I was thinking about giving this to each one of you for as a Christmas gift. And our son, the one that went through the whole CPS, he's like, oh, that's great, Mom. He's like, how did he put this? He goes, here's a defense against your fascist government. Merry Christmas. And I was like, hey, whatever it takes, man. So anyway,
the gift that keeps on giving.
That's what I said. Exactly. So Heritage Defense is clearly a Christian organization. Can you share with us how it is funded?
Yeah. So we're a nonprofit organization. So it's really just the members of Heritage Defense that fund it. And so, right today, studies are showing that 37% of children in the U.S. will be part of a CPS investigation by the time they turn 18. Mm. Now, I think it's a little bit lower for homeschoolers, but it's still way higher than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And 90% of the reports and 83% of investigations are all unfounded. So, you know, when you hear about somebody getting investigated by CPS, most of them, you know, 4 out of 5, even CPS agrees, you know, that they're innocent families. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, 100% of those cases and those investigations are traumatic. So that's why we started this organization. We're a nonprofit. So even if nothing happens to you or your family, or you need an attorney, nevertheless, your membership is helping defend other families around the country.
Right. I love that. So how can you explain how a family can join Heritage Defense?
They can go to our website at heritagedefense.org, submit an application there, and then normally within a week or so, you'll hear back on that, probably be approved.
And the cost, we already discussed that. So that's again, I'll repeat it in case moms missed it. You know, sometimes the kids are talking to us when when the podcast is going on. It's $19 a month or $190 for the year if you want to pay that up front, so which saves you almost $50. All right. So Bradley, share, what are the benefits? You've actually described several of the benefits. Have we missed any? Have we not covered any?
Yeah, some of the other big benefits, you know, I kind of already mentioned, hey, 24/7, you can be immediately connected with an attorney, you know, once you're a member. Then it's not just an attorney there at the door or, you know, while you're on the phone to give you advice, but it's full legal representation. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. No matter how far the case needs to go, if there needs to be meetings or interviews, or if you have to go to court to defend your parental rights, the attorney's provided for you. So you kind of have the initial, you know, when you call us, you're initially talking to one of our staff attorneys. So you're mm-hmm. right off the bat talking to an experienced Christian attorney. We're all, you know, homeschooled dads here.
Right.
And I'm also a homeschool grad myself.
That's great.
And then if, you know, if something needs to happen in person, wherever you are, because we're in all 50 states, we have members in all 50 states, then we then hire a local attorney for you. Mm-hmm. So that way you've got somebody right there who can be sitting there in your home, you know, meeting with you, or, you know, if you need to go to any interviews, be with you there, or go to court, it's right there with you along the way. And we pay for that. That's all included with the membership with Heritage
Defense.
That
is absolutely astounding. That is just amazing to me. I had a friend about 3 or 4 months ago. She was having her 8th baby, and she's had situations before where she was, I think, had a baby in the hospital. And I can't remember why, but she just felt like CPS was going to be sent to her home. And I don't remember exactly what all happened, if that actually happened or not, but she was familiar with that sense that something could definitely go sideways here for whatever reason. I don't know. It's because she was having a home birth. I don't know. Anyway, bottom line was I was talking to her and I said, hey, have you heard of Heritage Defense? She's like, no. And I told her about it. She got on the internet like right away before she had that baby, got all signed up, got her membership in place. It really just brought so much peace of mind. And I think that's something that as homeschooling families, we definitely need. You know, you mentioned having things taken care of, knowing that we're being taken care of so that we can do our job well with our families. I think about families who live in town and, you know, they're homeschooling. So of course they're going to let their kids go out to play maybe in the morning as a break between subjects or whatever, you know, and you've got nosy neighbors watching and wanting to turn you in because you're not doing school, you know, that I just think of those situations that I've heard moms tell me that they're worried about, that they feel like they can't send their kid outside at 10 o'clock in the morning when they really want to. So it's just such a simple way to just take care of that so right. that you can move forward doing what God is leading you to do. You know, we all want to use discernment and wisdom. We want to protect our families as something we should do, but we shouldn't be living in fear. And so I feel like Heritage Defense is that resource that can help us do that. And so I'm so excited to have found you. Now, another question, is membership limited to home educating families? Because I know that there may be some families out there who are maybe home educating most of their kids, but not all of them. How does that work?
Yeah, right now membership is limited to families who are exclusively homeschooling.
Okay.
Now, of course, if their children are not yet school age, I mean, I think, and I say homeschooling begins at conception, but, you know, if your children are not yet, quote unquote, school age, mm-hmm. they don't have to be officially homeschooling. But that said, the children that are school age, you know, you do have to be homeschooling to be a member. And one of the big reasons for that is really a legal issue, mm-hmm. and that is families who are educating their children at home have more constitutional protections than if your child is outside the home. So if your child is at a private school or at a public school, in many, many states around the country, Child Protective Services, an investigator can actually go into those schools, take the child out of class, and interview that child without ever notifying the parents or asking the wow. parents' permission in advance.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's makes it a lot harder to kind of, that's one of the big things we're trying to prevent is mm-hmm. these kind of, you know, these invasive fishing expedition, mm-hmm. often defiling interviews of children by CPS.
Right.
And so that's one of the big reasons why, at least currently, our membership is limited to families who are mm-hmm. exclusively mm-hmm. homeschooling.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. It's amazing to me the parental rights that you give up by sending your child somewhere else to be educated. That just, it just blows my mind, you know? I think as a long time from the beginning homeschooler, when you do it for this many years, and of course you know this because you were homeschooled as well, so you've got even more years stacked up of just thinking, no, of course I can, you know, of course I can do this. That's, I'm the parent, right? Oh no, actually you can't do that. Right. And I would be curious to see, and I think there actually is a list out there of the rights that you give up as a parent to when you send your kid somewhere else to be educated. I think it's on parentalrights.org. That was a really interesting list because I don't know any parent out there who might actually read that list and would still want to send their kid to school. So,
yeah. Well, and it's important, you know, that the people understand it's of course, you know, you have a right to homeschool, but there's lots of other parental rights, you know, mm-hmm. that come under attack, right? Sure. Making medical decisions for your children.
Yes.
Or, you know, someone misunderstands a situation, or you mm-hmm. even have like a disgruntled neighbor or family member,
right,
you know, who contacts CPS on you, right? Any kind of false allegation of abuse or neglect, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we're here for. No matter why that social worker is knocking on your door, that's what we're here for.
And see, that's the difference between what I've seen with a couple of other organizations that I checked into, is that they didn't really offer anything in that regard, just like that ran the gamut. Specifically, like I was looking at, you know, whether or not if a medical situation came up, because that was our situation. And I noticed immediately on Heritage Defense, yes, anything, you know, medical things, and where other organizations weren't offering that same type of coverage. So I think that's a really important thing for parents to know about Heritage Defense. I think the question that might be on the minds of some of our listeners, because they know about HSLDA, which is a wonderful organization,
yes.
They would be curious to know, and I would be curious to know, I actually read the answer on your website, so I actually know now, but but I didn't before.
Yeah.
Does Heritage Defense compete with Homeschool Legal Defense Association?
No, we don't. We certainly, there is a little bit of overlap, mm-hmm. but by and large, we really complement one another. And I love HSLDA. Mm-hmm. They do a fantastic job. My parents were members of HSLDA. I'm mm-hmm. a member of HSLDA. And they defend our right to homeschool, and they do that across the country. And I think most of our members are also members of HSLDA, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. to kind of, kind of have that and support that work and fighting for homeschooling and, you know, getting all the help with navigating the homeschool laws in your state and all that and the awesome things that they do there. But then with Heritage Defense, making sure that all of your other bases are covered, right? So if a social worker shows up at your door, right. and it's not about homeschooling, it's about some other reason. And that's normally the case. Right. It's normally some other reason. Right. Then you've got somebody not only that you can call, but who's going to be there, you know, all the way, full legal representation, you know, right. for all of those things kind of beyond homeschooling.
Okay. So Homeschool Legal Defense is mainly the homeschooling, handles the homeschooling arena, and you guys kind of handle all the rest of it.
That's the way that I think of it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, obviously, I mean, if all of you homeschooling dads there, or most of you even have an HSLDA membership, then it's yes. You've got some great coverage there. So, you know, moms, dads, you might want to look into HSLDA. I think sometimes, you know, I'm thinking about the younger parents who are the parents with younger children, like who are having babies, and the preschoolers, and, you know, like they could become part of HSLDA if they felt they needed to regarding homeschooling. But I feel like really the priority would be Heritage Defense at that point in the game, just because there's a lot of other bigger possibilities in terms of homeschooling, especially if you're not homeschooling yet or your kids aren't homeschooling age in your particular state. And I think in the younger years, I feel like there could be threats, but I think, you know, every family I just really feel like they need to just pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, look at these resources, and, you know, and then just move forward with what you believe is best for your family. But again, I highly recommend Heritage Defense, and I'm so thankful that for the work that you're doing. So thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome. and thank you for inviting me on. Can I mention one other?
Absolutely, kind of benefit, yes. Anything else you want to say, go for it.
We even have a lot of members. One benefit that we offer members is you don't have to wait until you have a case or something going on before you call us and talk to an attorney. That one of the benefits of membership is you can actually call us and schedule a call with one of our attorneys anytime you have any kind of question about your parental rights or you want to know what the law is in your state, or maybe you've got a situation that could turn into a CPS case.
Right.
You just want to get some advice about how to handle that. That's all included with the membership as well. So that way, you know, you don't have to wait until there's a situation. You can act preventatively.
Right,
well.
Right. So you're a resource for prevention, which, as you said in the very beginning, that's really gives you a huge leg up is preventative, getting in front of it before it becomes too big. So, yes, thanks again for being here. I'm just going to ask you to, if you wouldn't mind, just closing in a word of prayer.
Yeah, I'd love to. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the children that you've given us, and you allow us to steward, be stewards of, and to care for them and love them. And Lord, we pray that you would allow us to have freedom in doing that, Lord, and to exercise our parental rights in love. And we pray that you would protect us, God, from those who would want to interfere with that. For whatever reason, even well-meaning, God. But Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom in that. And Lord, I do pray as we've already talked about, Lord, I do pray against the spirit of fear, Lord, that we would not have a spirit of fear, but that we would make plans and we would prepare and that we'd be there bearing one another's burdens. That's what we want to do for each other here. So Lord, we pray that you would be with us and our families and guide us into all truth. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, moms, before you go, I want to share an exciting resource from Classical Conversations. It's called Scribblers at Home, Recipes from Lifelong Learners, an at-home curriculum for homeschool families with children ages 4 to 8. Step-by-step activities and easy-to-follow charts will help you cultivate a love of lifelong learning in your child through intentional everyday play. Find magic in the mundane as your kitchen becomes a classroom, your backyard becomes a laboratory, and your child develops simple learning rhythms that will carry them through life. You can use Scribblers at Home to complement the Classical Conversations Foundations program or just on its own. Either way, this new resource will help homeschool parents of little learners create a family environment where habits like playing, praying, and reading come naturally. Learn more at classicalconversations.com/scribblers-dorenda. I will leave that link in the show notes. Have a great day, moms.